There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date, the 18th of August, 2014. It's just about 1 minute and 53 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock. Central Daylight Savings Time. We're broadcasting live from a horse ranch in northeastern Oklahoma, centrally located in the United States of America. Tonight, we're going to go over the homework assignment of last week's show. We did give out a homework assignment, and hopefully most of you got that homework assignment completed. We'll be talking about that later on in the broadcast. But first, we need to discuss some habits. I'm not talking about smoking or drinking or gambling or picking your nose. I'm not talking about those kind of habits. I'm talking about a habit that creeps up slowly, like the sun crossing the sky. Even though the sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west and it crosses the sky during the day, it doesn't exactly move at the rate of a race car. It's really slow. And the busier your day and a few hours go by, all of a sudden you notice that the sun has moved. The day is progressing. But if you're just standing or sitting at a picnic table and you're focusing on watching the sun move, well, you get pretty bored pretty quickly because it just seems like it doesn't move. Even though you know at the end of the day, the sun is going to set and it's going to get dark. But yet, it just seems like it isn't going anywhere. It's not moving. But if you're busy through the day, you can say, I don't know where this day went. It's like I woke up, I got out of bed, and now it's dark, and I was just so busy today, I can't believe how fast the day went. So it's about perspective, but tonight, the perspective and time is on compromise, on settling. Now, compromise, settling, getting by, willing to concede, all these things really kind of mean the same thing, just different wordage. Because as you get older, you really kind of settle. You compromise. you learn habits and a lifestyle that if you were to go back in time and someone said, okay, here's your choice. You can choose to do something else with your life, or we're just going to put you 20 years into the future and you can see how much you've settled and compromised on your life's goals and dreams and aspirations. You'd say, oh my gosh, no. Look at me. That's not me. I would never be that unhappy. I would never let myself get stuck in that position, whatever the position may be. But yet, as time marches forward, as your life gets busier and you get a day older every day, before you know it, 15, 20 years have gone by and you've settled. You've compromised. Sometimes it's comfortable. Other times, not so much. Not so much. But either way, it's your life we're talking about. Now, let's bring Christianity into this for a moment. Just a moment. We're going to talk about Jesus for just a second or two. Why is it that to be closer to God, to have a prayer answered, to publicly display your belief and your conviction in Christ, to have any legitimacy or any leg to stand on, or any hope in the world of having connection with the guys, it has to be in a specific location at a specific time in a certain specific service or religious organization? Why is that? Why does that even make sense? There's nothing in Scripture to back that up. So, subsequently, perhaps an observation would be that in August of 2015, all denominations of most all religions have compromised, have settled. Because Scripture shows, ask and you shall receive. When you pray, go in your room, close the door, ask in private, your Father will answer in private. None of that sounds like organizational religion. And Jim, this is a very interesting subject because I like this topic because it really brings to the surface not what someone really believes, but what they perceive to be real and how they've literally been caught up in it's almost like a conspiracy movie. They've gotten caught up in something that says, join our prayer team.
Yeah.
Come to Sunday school. Come to Bible study. Come to Wednesday night. Come Friday night. Come Saturday night. Come Sunday morning. Come here at Christmas. Come here at Easter. If you want effectiveness, you want a connection, this is where you come, and this is how you do it. And frankly, that couldn't be farther from the truth, because that really is saying that, and it really says this is the only place you can tap into grace.
Right.
This is where the guys are, only here at certain times, that you can travel your life, live a long life, and go a lot of places on this planet, and grace isn't there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm listening to your opening, and my mind's thinking back even to the way that I grew up, where there was nothing really at all about individuality expressed in the place where I grew up and spent so many years, and all of our families were there. So we were all the same. Wonderful people. We all had our own individual walk with God, but it all looked exactly like one another's. And no one ever asked questions. Pretty much, I don't think anybody even thought they were allowed to ask questions.
Right.
I asked questions, and then immediately, in fact, I'll tell you, my first question that I asked to the pastor, I took him aside, and I asked how come that of what I saw preached, I saw very little experience, and why was that? And this is his exact response. He said, how long has it been since you've been thinking like this? You know, because he never had anybody, ask him that kind of question.
Right.
So my point being, settling was extremely easy as I grew up because everybody was the same. In fact, when I got to college, I really struggled at first because not everybody was a Baptist. And then immediately I began to think, well, they can't be right. We're the ones that are right. And then you get exclusive, and you think you're right. And the more you think you're right, the more you shut yourself off to the possibility of greater knowledge, of going further. Because going further was never a part of the script. So settling was something actually everybody did.
One thing I've noticed about people that are devout Christians and really serious about their faith is they will not have a rational, open mind, what if maybe discussion about the guys.
Mm-mm.
It offends them.
Well, I can only get maybe 3 or 4 or 5 ministers out of 100 to do that with me.
See, and I have a theory about that. They don't have a lot of ammunition to fight back with.
Uh-huh.
They're not secure in their own relationship with the guys.
Right.
They can't prove it to themselves. There's nothing tangible to them. So if they don't have anything for themselves that's tangible, how in the world would they have something tangible to stand up and defend? Or to use as a, well, right back in your face kind of a weapon. They don't have anything. There's nothing. There isn't anything there.
Well, they have Bible verses, but they don't have anything besides
verses. See, Bible, that's nothing, though.
Right.
That means you know a book. That doesn't mean you know Christ.
Right. Well, I get it. I mean, I told you last year about a place I went to where the minister, I think, probably knew more Bible verses than I've ever heard anybody outside of one other person that I know that could, or knew that could quote books of the Bible. And everything that I was sharing went back to him to a verse. But I was trying to get him to let everything I was sharing go back to a person. But he couldn't get it. He always had to give me a verse. He said, well, it's like this in the scripture. I said, well, it's like that because it's a person. Yeah, but the scripture says. I said, well, God's the one.
Right.
I mean, it's him. And then I shared also how that individual had some physical trouble, and then I noticed that there was nothing about all of his scripture that he knew that helped him out of his physical trouble. So that then becomes, in a sense, one of the problems. I mean, again, it becomes more of a relationship on paper than it is in reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this, it sounds good, though.
Well, it sounds wonderful until you really need some assistance.
There you go.
Until you want something.
Right.
Like salvation.
Right.
I mean, and people freak out when I say this, but it's really true. How people think they're going to end up in heaven when they have such a position that you just talked about, they're fooling themselves. I mean, how are they going to look the guys in the face and say, you know me, I know you?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit is going to say, really? When? Where? How? And
don't you think this is really, and we've talked about this before, very indicative of the generation we're in, where there's not much realness to the generation, so how could there be a realness to the relationship with God?
I don't know. Say that again.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking that what you're talking about is more a part of the modern generation, where there's not much tangibility with one another.
Right.
So it bleeds over into there not being. In other words, years and years ago, relationships meant more. There were more, there was greater importance put on them. There was a necessity.
Oh, no question about it.
A necessity of someone having a real heart-to-heart, look in a person's eye type of relationship, talk it over, and work it out relationship, because you needed one another. Well, it'd be a lot easier to make sure that you had that kind of relationship with God when that was a part of the society.
Yeah.
But today's relationship is through text. It's through Instagram. It's through the Twitter accounts and Facebook. It doesn't have to be real. And if it's not real with one another, maybe that has something to do with why people are fooling themselves with, do they really have any evidence that there's a relationship with God?
I think there's some merit in that statement, because I see it all the time. People are becoming more sequestered, more of an individual, and less part of a family, and less part of a friendly group. They may be more social. They may be going more places. They may be contacting more people and have more information because of the internet and Facebook and Twitter and cell phones and other machines. But in a level of, do they know you and do you know them? No. It's casual.
Yeah.
And it's very superficial. It's right on the surface. There's no in-depth to it. Because that's what modern technology is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to hear your voice. I don't need to see your face. I'll just text you. I don't have to come to you and see how the weather is, how you feel, what you look like. I'll just send you an email. I really don't need to see the expressions on your face or hear the happiness in your voice or the sadness in your voice and the melancholy in your eyes, because we're just calling each other.
You know, what's funny is, you know, these phones now have the ability to do dictation for you. You
know? They do?
Yeah. So I can push a little microphone.
Really?
When it comes to texting or when it comes to writing an email, I can push a little microphone and I can just talk my letters. So I could say BJ, comma, and then it writes BJ, comma.
Wow.
I can make it out to the ranch in such and such a time, and I'll be there, da da da, and it just dictates the whole thing, okay?
Wow.
Well, I know that it was very funny because, and it goes back to what you just got through saying, Erin made a comment to me. This was when we first had that feature come out on the phone, and she heard me, you know, doing one of those dictations where I pressed the microphone and I was letting the machine write down my thoughts. Well, I said it like this. I'll be coming tomorrow, so make sure that you're... Oh, and bring such and such, and I'm giving all this inflection. And she said, Jim, the phone doesn't know your inflection. Just speak it. See, the point would be, I'm not used to saying something like, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll be there at 10 o'clock, da-da-da-da-da. Like as though... No, because what? You're more used to what? Being right there with a person, and you talk with an inflection, you talk with gestures in your face. There's an ambiance about what you do and what you say because you're with a person. Well, the phone can't pick that up.
Yeah,
and that becomes then our society. You miss all those things. Those are important parts to a conversation.
A guy came out to the ranch to talk business last week. No, this week. It was Monday. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, let me start over. A guy came to the ranch yesterday to talk some business with me. And I said, take your sunglasses off. And he says, what? And I says, take your sunglasses off. And he says, why? And I says, we're talking business. I want you to look me in the eye, and I want to look in your eye. I says, I don't want to look in those stupid welding goggles. And he says, well, don't you have sunglasses? And I says, no, I've never owned sunglasses. I think sunglasses are stupid. I says, no, I don't. I would never wear a pair of sunglasses. And he took them off, and he says, that better? And I says, it is. And he didn't get it, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of put a damper on things, but I didn't want to do business with this guy anyways. But it wouldn't have mattered. I still would have told him to take his sunglasses off because I want to see what somebody is looking at, how they react.
Right.
I don't want to look at half a face and some brown, dark green, you know, bug shields.
Right, right.
We're losing our humanity. We're settling every day.
Yeah, yeah, I see it.
I mean, we're settling. We're compromising. I mean, people talk about politics and the presidential election, and people are talking about how we're giving our rights away. We're losing our rights as citizens, and we're losing our entitlements, and we're losing our freedom, and these things are just being taken and stolen, and the politician this and the politician that. Well, it's not happening overnight. It's happening over tens, 20s, 30, 40, 50 years or more, over decades of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow transition. And any serious concession, settlement, compromise is. I mean, if you get your leg cut off tomorrow, you have one leg and you have to learn how to walk and deal with having one leg. So there's really, it's just a big surprise. But over a 10-year period, your leg slowly, every day, works a little less. So you fast forward 10 years later, and you really don't rely on it at all because it hasn't been good for years. Over the long haul, over time, you've learned to adapt, to get over it. Well, you can apply this to your relationship with the guys. That it's a slow mm-hmm. progression.
Yeah.
Or it can be overnight. It depends on the choices and the sacrifices you want to make.
Yeah.
But most people don't know how to make instantaneous 100-degree changes. We say all the time, just repent. Just open your heart. Open your mind. It's really that easy. It's like flicking the light switch. You're off, and then you're on to heaven. It's so easy, just on and off. You just have to accept it. Well, that information is true and accurate. No mm-hmm. question about it. But the problem is, who has those skills to go back
right.
on?
Right.
When do they have those? Because every change, everything that has happened in someone's life is at a snail's pace.
Yeah, I've commented on that before about how people always insert an extra step. Like you'll tell them something that's very absolute, and then they'll say, I'm going to meditate on that. Well, you don't really have to meditate on that. I mean, is it true? Yes. Well, then can't you allow it to be a truth for the rest of your life? And the answer would be, no, they can't. They have to work on it. They have to process it. They have to stay with it for a period of time before something like 2 + 2 could be 4.
Because nothing else ever has been.
Right, right.
I mean,
and this stunts the growth of your spirit, of your walk with God.
Well, it doesn't just stunt it. It pretty much negates it.
Yeah, prevents it.
All right, folks, we will want you to participate in tonight's radio show. You can say hello, good evening. Just say hi. Just say something because you want to hear your name on the radio. We just want you to participate. There's a couple of ways you can participate. One is to send us an email. If you don't want your name mentioned or the email not read on the broadcast, make sure that that's one of the first things that you say in your email so I don't make a mistake. The email address is the same as the radio show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no spaces, no capital letters. TheAbidingPresence.com is the email address. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. G, the letter G, Grandma's Gravy, TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. We have instant text messaging if you want to send a text. The first word that you type is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. Ranger is the first word that you type. You have to type that first. Then you type the rest of your message. And when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code. It's just two nines, 99, and three zeros, 99000, 99,000. And we'll get it. And that's how easy it is to participate. So send us your text. Send us your emails. We got some emails right now. We got one that came in about yesterday. It says, would you watch YouTube video last week with some televangelist on HBO? No.
No. I mean, I don't have HBO anyhow, so.
You don't have HBO?
No.
Seriously, you don't have HBO?
No.
Do you have Showtime?
No.
Do you have Cinemax?
No. I don't have any movie channels.
The Western Channel?
No.
The Nature Channel?
I mean, have Discovery Channel and...
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of channels.
Well, you got a big old dish on the barn.
No, I don't. That's a tiny little dish. It's right outside the house.
Oh, I thought it was a good size one.
No. It's smaller than one of your car tires, and you got a go-kart for a car. The dish is only about this big.
Hmm, okay.
It's like 16 inches diameter.
Do you remember when they first came out, how big they were? You
almost oh, they were the size of pickup trucks.
You had to put them in a yard or something, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. We got another email that came in 21 hours ago. It says, this can be read live. Please only use my first name if you choose to. Jim, I have heard you say that your relationship should become so real with God that we should come to the place where we don't need to pray anymore. So would you say that prayer is not needed and has become a religious act by many? If that is the case, do we need prayer groups, etc.? Why would Paul say, I think, God, I pray more than you all? Thanks, trying to find a balance. Rid myself of religion and dead works. Appreciate you guys.
Well, first, Paul, when he's talking about I pray more than you all, he's talking about his prayer time in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in other tongues, his connection with God. That's what he's talking about there. But, you know, my comment is needs to be understood. We're talking about your own individual relationship with God. And the greater your connection is, the more real God becomes to you. Not only do the easier your prayers get answered, but really how many prayers do you need answered before grace just takes care of all the answers for you? And you don't have to pray for the things that the things that you've allowed to be real that shouldn't be there. So this is a part of your growth with God. Now, we haven't covered this, but I mean, there are prayers for others, and the scripture shows us, that are definitely necessary. But this show, the emphasis of our show, is for individuals to begin to experience God themselves. So keep that in the right context.
Well, that was a pretty decent answer. Okay, let's see here. That's it. We're caught up. We haven't received any text yet. Or emails. We keep all this stuff private. You're not going to get anything from us, any telemarketing or anything like that. It's just a way to get you closer to the show, to us, to be able to contact the show through phone or email. So
you know,
take advantage of it.
I'm going to read a couple of scriptures back to back here. They're different found in different places, but they have a point of encouraging us to go further. And this is the opposite, obviously, of settling. One scripture here is in Proverbs 4:18. It says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day." Pretty self-explanatory.
It is.
It's like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. So that's the path of those that are just. Another one here is found in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. And it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," or as it is necessary, "because your faith grows exceedingly." So Paul's doing what? He's trying to encourage us that your faith needs to grow in an exceeding measure. Now over here in Philippians 1:9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." And then here's another one here. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." And then there's one here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and it says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever. Amen." These are just a few. I mean, there's a ton of scriptures, because scripture would be accurate. Scripture is not an interpretation. You don't need anybody to interpret what I just said. It's very straightforward. It tells us that there is a progression to your faith, a progression to the grace of God, to your experiences with Christ. But as we mentioned at the very onset, what BJ shared at the opening, and that I shared next, how easy has it been for you, by your involvement of being around so many other people, to get caught up in just settling for wherever you're at? BJ, another thing that I want to bring out about the word settle is, and this is very interesting, because, in fact, I was sharing this with my mom today. If you look at the Bible in a broad stroke, you remember how we've said this before, there's many different ways you could look at it in a broad stroke.
Right.
And each way that you look at it, it should be very simple. Not very complex, but very simple. One of those ways of looking at it is, it's a book of success stories of individuals that found God. And then the testimony is the experience of what happened when they found him. In other words, there's nothing in the Bible that prepares you for failure after failure. So when you think of people settling, isn't it possible, because they're surrounded by so much failure, it's easy to settle? It almost validates what they're not experiencing, so why would you want to go further? I don't know, it's a thought.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
All right, maybe it's a good one.
I just wanted to yell that.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's people in buildings that, you know,
yeah,
they go, "Amen, praise Jesus."
That's right.
I mean, out of nowhere.
Yeah, they give their approval to what they're hearing.
"Amen, pray Jesus." And they just pop all the time, like they just, you know, little attention getters. So I just wanted to do that. We got a text message. It says, "Hey, Jim and BJ, have either of you ever been to heaven or seen Jesus?" Well, yeah. This ranch is heaven. Spending time with horses, spending time with my dog Ranger, that's heaven. And I see the guys every day, all day. We're supposed to. There's nowhere in Scripture does it say it's a hide and go seek game,
right?
Or that it's not for everyone. I think seeing grace and experiencing heaven is truly in the eye of the beholder. Where you are, how you feel about yourself, how you look at yourself, who are you, and how you define yourself. I mean, if you define yourself as a 40-year-old who has a crummy job and a crummy mate and too many bills to pay, then I think that's who you are. And when I say I don't care, I don't care. That's your life. It's your life to build on and to cherish, and it's your life to tear down and disrespect. It's yours.
So if I were answering that question, because they asked us both about it, I'm experiencing God now, which is really pretty cool for me, the majority of the day now, where before it was just hit and miss. So, and my experiences range in all different kinds of experiences, from some intense, cool experiences to what would be regular for me would be fellowshipping, hearing the voice of God, and recognizing God on a regular basis, getting prayers answered.
All right. Let's check for some emails. We got more emails. The Abiding Presence at the letter G, Gmail. So send us an email, send us a text message. All the ways that you contact the show are on the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. So we do hope that you take advantage of that and participate in the show. We want to see you do that. So the more the merrier with emails and text messaging.
Okay, so while we're getting some text messages and some emails that are coming in, please write us. Let me share something here from 2 Kings and chapter 2. And this is to help to the other side of settling, to give you experiences of success stories of people that didn't settle. And it says here, "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel." Now, to give you a little bit of the history of this, Elijah was the older prophet, and he knew his time was short, and he was getting ready to go on up to heaven. And he said to Elisha, who was the younger prophet, "Is there something that you want from me before I go?" And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of the anointing that's upon your life." And he said, "Well, that's not an easy thing that you've asked." But he went on to say, "If you see me when I go up into heaven, it'll be granted you." So right here, Elijah gives Elisha opportunity to do what? To back out. To settle. In other words, to settle for, "I had some awesome experiences with Prophet Elijah. They were so incredible. Let me tell you the stories that he did." Well, folks, it's one thing to tell a story that someone else did, but it's another thing to tell a story about what you have experienced. And this is what Elijah did. He said, "Elisha, stay here." Well, that's not the only time that he did that. He did that about three times, trying to get him to do what? To settle. Or in other words, to test whether or not he would persevere, he would continue to go forward, or whether he would just give up and say, "Well, it's just been good enough." And if you know the end of the story, he stayed with Elijah, and the Lord came and caught him up, and when he saw him, the mantle fell to the ground. Elisha picked it up, and he had double the miracles that Elijah had in his ministry. But my point was, there was no settling at all. And when you find individuals in the Word of God that experience God, this is what you'll find. There's nothing about them that settles for anything.
Right.
They don't stop. You could say, what's that kind of personality? Obsessive compulsive. What's it called? A compulsive obsessive
disorder
or whatever.
Where, is that one? Compulsive? Compulsive?
Yeah.
Obsessive?
Obsessive compulsive.
I call them alphabet diseases.
Yeah. Well,
everybody wants an alphabet disease so they can have an excuse.
Well, this one is about you just got to go after it until you get it done and accomplished right, in the biggest of ways. Well, whether it's a disorder or not, the point is, when you see people experiencing God, there's nothing about them that's settled. They
right,
always stepped beyond what you could call the easy way out, what would have been standard or status quo, and they experienced God because they wouldn't settle.
Right. Well, we got a couple of interesting text messages
okay, addressed
to me and my dog Ranger, but they make no sense to me. Maybe they will to you.
Okay.
It says, "If your dog is so smart, she can put her back. but she can keep the shin bone. What does that mean? I'm going to read it again because it makes no sense to me. They're trying to say that I guess Ranger isn't smart, or if she is smart, why can't she do something? But listen to this.
Or is it a riddle?
I don't know. I just think it makes no sense. If your dog is so smart, she can put her back, period, but she can keep the shin bone. What does that mean? And then underneath it, someone says, "Don't ignore me, horseman." I don't know who's sending these texts, but maybe it's two different people, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't, me either.
Now, you know what's interesting? Is someone would think that I'm intimidated or afraid of a text or an email. They have no idea who, they don't know who I am. They don't know my personality. Here's a text that does make sense. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ, listening in Pasco, Washington. This is Roman."
Okay. Good to hear from Roman.
See, now I know who, okay, I don't know who this is, but obviously the person is an idiot. Because it says, "Your dog dug up my grandma."
What?
Yeah, I'm serious, these are real texts that someone is sending in, and they think they're either cute, smart, but obviously they're, my grandmother would say it's a short bus child. It's a child that doesn't ride the real long school buses. They ride the little short school bus to school. So whoever it is, they're an idiot. I don't know. They make no sense. They misspell words. Their grammar's bad. If they want a group prayer for spelling and common sense, it probably wouldn't even work. So this is what cracks me up about people. They're you know, they just
yeah, don't write any more of those texts.
Well, I don't care. I don't care if they write them or not. It meant nothing to me. I mean, the more they write, the worse they look. The more ridiculous they are, you just feel, you know, more's the pity. But see, think of it this way, folks. If somebody out there has the energy to type such stupid things, we really want to hear from you, and we read them on the air. And
yeah.
But I will tell you something about people. This I learned a long time ago. Somebody will say something on the phone. They'll say something in an email. They'll say something on the internet in a text. But you know what? They won't come up face to face and say it.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people I've ever met in my life will look you in the eye toe to toe and say something that they know may get a other than positive response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are really, really weird. Well, we need to get back to the show.
That is the show. Goodness. It's your show. This is your fault.
I don't know how that was my fault.
It's your show. It's The Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. So,
well,
yeah,
folks, I'm not going to settle. So,
but see, here's the thing about compromise or settling. The homework assignment. Let's talk about the homework assignment.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it really applies this.
The
homework assignment was from last Tuesday night to tonight was take a piece of paper and write down everything that bothers you.
That you won't accept or tolerate.
That you won't accept. I won't accept that this is wrong. I want it fixed. I demand it be different. That you just won't do. I mean, if you went to a restaurant and you ordered a salad and it was the wrong salad dressing and you demanded they fix it, put it down. If you, I don't know, if you...
Well, if you took your car in and you paid
there
for...
There you go.
Paid for something to be
fixed. A repair
fixed.
Service.
Right. And you went on the way home, you got in your car, they assured you it was fine and it rattled and it did exactly what it did beforehand.
One. Or you bought something at the store and they said there's a money-back guarantee and you took it back to the store and they gave you a bunch of grief. Yeah.
I had one just the other day.
Did you? What
on
was
the
yours?
Internet. Oh gosh, it was ridiculous. It was something that I have to remember, but it was something that I won. It says like you won, you know, a
trip.
Oh no, like a okay.
What? What'd
like
you win?
Some what are they? Not medicine, but you take like a vitamin C. A vitamin. You won some vitamins, okay?
Oh, okay.
And it's really good vitamins, and all you had to do is pay the postage.
Right.
For free vitamins.
Okay.
And you know, this brand, I thought, okay, I'll try those. And I paid the postage. So then within 2 weeks' time, there's an $80 charge on our card. It's like, no, it said it was free, a free bottle.
Yeah, but did you read the fine print?
Well, this is the thing. I called him back up and I said, I'd like you to take the $80 charge off. And she said, well, I can't do that because you've already had the product for the vitamin for two weeks. I said, wait a minute. I didn't buy it. It was a free trial. She said it was free to try it. And then 2 weeks later, we would charge you for it.
If you didn't send it back.
Yeah. I said, okay. I said, all right, here's the deal. I said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to work with me right now, and you're going to take this charge off. She said, well, then I'll have to have the bottle. I said, you want the bottle back? I'd love to send it back. I said, just take this charge off. I don't like these type of things. So she said, okay, well, what I can do is I can take off 25%.
Right.
I said, give me your manager, because we're going to take off all of it. She said, well, I'll take off 50%. And I said, no, let's take off 100% off the card. Do you want your, you know, you send me an address, and I'll send you back the bottle of vitamins. She said, well, I'll take off 75%. I said, ma'am, do you realize what you're doing to me right now? I said, take the whole thing off. How easy is this? Take it off. She said, okay, I've just deleted it. I've taken it off. Now, can I interest you in... I said, you can't interest me in anything. I said, we are done. And then once she said, okay, finally, it's done. It's off. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yes. I said, why did you put me through that?
And what'd she say?
She said, I'm really sorry. I said, you were reading from a script, weren't you? Yes. I said, sometimes you need to go off your script.
See, I would handle that differently because I have a neighbor. She's a really sweet lady, and she's... Oh, how old is she? She's 83, 84.
Is it the one I met?
Yeah. She has a daughter that's a little slow, that's around my age.
Yeah.
And they live alone, and they're neighbors to the ranch. And I go over and do things, you know, fix things, mow things, kind of protect them from things. And I was going down the road one day, and she was out mowing, and she was waving her arms because she saw me go by, you know, to flag me down. And I made a U-turn on the interstate and pulled around by her house. And she says, you got to help me. She says, I got this problem. And I says, what's the problem? And she says, well, they sent me a box of coffee. And I says, I'm really sorry. I don't drink coffee, but thank you. And she says, no, I don't want to give you any. She says, I want to give it back. She says, come here. She took me in her house, and on the corner of her kitchen table is a very large box. And it's got like 12 plastic packages of different flavored coffees from around the world. And somehow she said that her daughter, who's kind of slow, answered the phone when she was outside, and she says her daughter isn't supposed to answer the phone unless she's in the house with her, you know, so she can hear what her daughter's saying. And it was some telemarketer or something selling coffees from around the world or something.
Right.
And so they sent it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they billed her. And she says, I've called them, and she says, I can't get anywhere with them. And, she says, can you try? And I says, yeah. I says, I don't want to say their names. I says, why don't you and your daughter.
Go outside.
I says, go out. I says, Ranger's in the truck. Why don't you guys go play with Ranger in the truck? Leave her in the truck, but because her daughter loves Ranger.
Right.
You know, and so she said, okay. So she kind of smiled, and I got on her phone, and I called this lady, and I got somebody reading a script. She says, well, it's money back. It's been too late, blah, blah, blah. Pretty much the same thing as they did on you.
Right.
And I says, you really don't want to do this. And she says, well, sir, there's really nothing you can do. You know, it's too late. And I says, no, there is something I can do. I says, I'm a rancher, and I have a dog who likes to hunt mice in the hay barn. And I says, I'm going to let my dog hunt mice all afternoon. And I says, if I let my dog hunt mice all afternoon, she'll probably make a pile of about 8 to 10 mice. And I says, then I'm going to take the, and I says, my dog kills them, but they still look like mice. They're not chewed up. She just kills them. And I said, so I'm going to put all these dead mice in this cardboard box. And then I'm going to go to my local TV station, and I'm going to say that I ordered this coffee and that you guys guaranteed how wholesome it was, and the box was full of dead mice. And I says, then I'm going to put it on Facebook, then I'm going to Twitter it, and then I said, I'm just going to tell the whole world that, I says, I'll even put it on Craigslist in every single large city around the country of a box full of dead mice. And she says, well, that's illegal. And I says, come to Oklahoma and stop me. And I says, I want the money returned. Put it back in the account. She says, hold, please. And it wasn't even 3 minutes. And she says, okay, we've credited your account, and we would just as soon, don't even send it back, just, you can do whatever you want with the coffee, and you should be ashamed of yourself. And she says, I can't believe you. And so, you know my personality.
Yeah.
I just had to finish the conversation with this. I says, well, you have a blessed day. And I hung up the phone, and I went outside, and I said, they credited your account. It's all over with it. She says, do I really want to know what you said? And I said, I didn't use any bad language. She says, you didn't? And I says, no, I didn't yell and scream. And she says, you didn't? She says, no. And she says, oh, I really don't want to know now. It must be really bad. And so me and Ranger took off. But yeah, I don't have time for that kind of stuff.
So there was no settling.
No settling. No compromise.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. And it kind of goes to the story is that nowadays I see it all the time on people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
I see people that are just, they're discouraged. I mean, it's almost their toes are hanging off the edge into depression.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel, what can I do?
Right.
It's me against the world. I got enough problems. I got enough issues. There's not. I just can't deal with this. Who
right.
cares? I might as well just give up and get in. And then this is the shame of it. Because like telemarketers, like organized religion, like negative energy, they love it when you take the wind out of your own sails.
Right, right.
When you give up. When you don't try to stand up for yourself.
Sure.
When you swallow your own pride, and when you're afraid to stand up and be counted, they don't have to back up what they're going to say. They don't
right.
have to have
right.
a defense. They don't need even an offense, because you're literally
yeah.
settling and compromising and giving up.
Yeah.
And when you do it once, you'll do it again, because you see how easy it is, and you can move on and get past it.
Yeah.
Because you just have so much drama and so many things going on, you just don't want to deal with it.
Well, I'm going to read a story because you brought up something that I had pulled up here. It's 1 Samuel chapter 30, and this is David and his mighty men. And while they were out doing some work, there was an attack at the home base. And the Amalekites came and invaded the place where David was in Ziklag. They burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and those that were there, from small to great. They didn't kill anybody, but they carried them away and went their way. Excuse me, in verse 3 it says, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, or you could say depressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. One translation said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to the priest, Amalek's son, please bring me the ephod here. And he brought it. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the answer came, pursue, you'll surely overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all. So there's a story right there of your, I mean, we're talking here, you're getting ready to have everybody kill you.
Right.
All your family's gone. Everyone else's family is gone. Talk about despondency or feeling like there's nothing you can do.
Well, look at Jesus. Your dad let you get the snot beat out of you. You let him take you and nail you to a fence post. Then they throw you in a hole and cover you with rocks. And if that isn't bad enough, then you get sent to hell on a 3-day trip. But yet, it means nothing because you end up in heaven.
Right.
Next to your father.
Right.
There are instances all over Scripture that shows that the tangibility of someone's faith is not memorizing that book.
Right.
It's not knowing Scripture or chanting Scripture or going somewhere to worship Scripture.
No.
The tangibility of the Word of God is that you have an invincible love, which is grace, and you are covered like a chocolate donut with grace. What are you laughing?
I've got a scripture, but it doesn't say chocolate donut, but it sounds like,
well, obviously it's
about.
Not real scripture, but it doesn't, because everybody knows Jesus loves chocolate donuts.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what's the scripture say?
It's Romans chapter 8, verse, let's see, 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, he's just talking from A to Z. It doesn't matter what it is. Keep your chin up.
Look at how many stories in the Bible. The guys who had the guy on the stretcher and they knocked a hole in the roof. The woman who crawled on her hands and knees.
Right.
Because in her mind she says, look, all I have to do is crawl on my hands and knees. I don't have to talk with him. All I got to do is touch the back of Jesus' wranglers. If I just touch Jesus' wranglers, I'm going to be healed.
Right.
Look at the people that just said, all I need to do is get close enough so that I can make that connection. And even Jesus admitted that there was a lot of times where he really wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Sure.
He knew that there was grace. He knew that things were happening, but he said, hey, I feel the grace, but it's not me, it's my Father.
Right, right.
I wish people would take themselves more seriously, would cut themselves a break, and realize that they have strength and power that is unused and untapped that they were born with.
Right, right.
That there is an inner spirit, a divine spark in each one of us that is dying to help you. That it can only be silenced, that it can only have its hand tied by you. An abusive spouse can't do it. A bully can't do it at school.
Right.
Someone that breaks into your house can't do it.
Right.
Road rage can't do it.
Sure.
A boss can't do it. A disease can't do it. A sickness, financial ruin can't do it. Nothing can collapse and wash away this power except for each person's
right.
own ability to just settle.
Yeah, settle.
To compromise and say, this is too big for me. I can't do anything.
Well,
it's just too much. I'm just one person. I don't know what you two guys in that barn in Oklahoma expect out of me, but if you until you walk a mile in my shoes, you just don't. Well, I don't want to walk a mile in your shoes because the mile you're walking is a terrible road.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bad road to be on.
Yep.
And you are building this road, you're designing this road, and you're walking on this road, and then you say, you don't know what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes? I do, because all of us, Jim, me, someone who's listening to the show for the first time, sometime in our lives, we have designed and built and traveled on a crappy piece of interstate that is of our own doing.
Right.
And the only person that's going to get it off of us is the image of our Father in us. We got texts. It says, hey, BJ, do you speak in tongues? If so, wait a minute, I misread. Hey, BJ, do you speak in tongues? If yes or no, why? I don't see anything wrong with speaking in tongues. I just don't speak in tongues because the guy seemed to understand me just fine. We have arguments. We have conversations. Why are you laughing over there?
I was just enjoying every bit of that.
I mean, I talk to the guys all day. They talk to me all day. I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and they're there. And so I don't see. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be crass or facetious, but I don't speak in tongues because I don't need to. I'm not saying it isn't valid that somebody shouldn't, but you asked me my personal thing.
Yep.
All right, then we got another text that says, good night, BJ and Jim. Blessings to you both. I have been taught that most time healing is progressive. Just stay with the process. Can you please comment?
Well,
this is a good text.
Yeah.
You know, like this text.
Where people, and this again becomes a part of the interpretation, so please listen carefully here. You know, really, when you look at Jesus and you see the ministry of Christ and you see the ministry of the disciples, there's nothing about the responses of the healing that comes to individuals in their ministries that would lead you to believe that it's going to be this long, drawn-out process. Now, I will say this, even a physical body, you cut yourself and you'll see that the blood stops bleeding and it goes from coagulating and to the point where you get a scab and it starts to heal and you leave the scab alone and pretty much, you know, you have whatever wound is healed up and your skin is nicely healed underneath. There's a process. The scripture that people use is over in Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, when Jesus tells the disciples that those who believe, among other things, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up a serpent, it will not hurt them, they'll drink any deadly thing, that'll not hurt them. And then he goes on to say, and you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, immediately everybody looks at the word recover as this validates the reason why it's been 4 months and I just believe I received my healing, but I'm waiting on the manifestation. And that's where the wheels come off, is our interpretation of recovery. Because recovery is something that's just as instant as it is a recovery. So here's how I look at it. And again, this is me from my study of Scripture. If in Jesus' ministry, the longest that he waited on anything to happen was getting out of the grave in 3 days. And that was very early on the third day. So my point is, if nothing's happening where there's change in your prayer, then something is wrong. And to just blame it on a process is also incorrect, because who's to say that the process is a year out or that finally somebody made a connection a year later, and that's when they began to see the work of grace. Grace is there for you instantaneously.
Good night, BJ and Jim. Blessings to you both. I've been taught that most time healing is progressive. Just stay with the process. Can you please comment? Well, I think that that's kind of a dirty trick played on a lot of people.
I think it's a good way to spin it.
I think it's a dirty trick, and I think it's... I don't think it... I mean, I'm not some conspiracy nut here, but I just think that it's a dirty trick played on people through a couple of thousand years. Generation, decade, century after century.
Right.
That it's a progressive, just stay with the process. Because let's look at what that says. You're looking for a healing, you're looking for a connection, you're looking for a relationship with the guys. And you want a healing of some sort. It's a progressive process. Just stay with it. Well, that sounds very encouraging on the surface. But what is that really saying? It's saying you're not going to see any results. You're not going to have any success. But you just want to continue to participate. It's like going to a restaurant, you get food poisoning. And every time you go, you get food poisoning. But the food tastes good, so you keep going back. And it really doesn't matter that you spend the entire night camped out in the bathroom. That's what this statement is saying. And this is what is wrong with a lot of people's worship practices. That was about the homework assignment. Make a list of the things that you don't tolerate, that you don't accept, and we're going to get into detail about that right now. If you won't accept a mechanic who can't fix your car the first time, if you want your money back at the store because the product is bad, if you won't tolerate the least little thing and you want people to back up what they say, then why do you not afford yourself the same empowerment when it comes to a relationship with Christ?
Yeah, real well put. Yep.
Why do you let yourself be pushed around and manipulated? Why do you let people blow so much smoke at you that after a while you don't know if it's midnight or high noon? Because you're just covered in this smoke called, well, it's a process.
Yeah.
And you have a ways to go. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says it's a progress and you have a ways to go. It's just the opposite.
Right.
Humble yourself, repent, recognize me, I'll recognize you, and welcome to all the coupons.
Right.
Welcome to eternity.
Yeah, I mean, if the process of modern religion throughout the centuries has watered down what God does for an individual to the point where we accept that it's a process.
They have to. It's the only way they can keep the doors open and the lights on.
Right.
If there are some really big world famous religious organizations located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, they are cornerstones, mainstays. They're the big dogs on the Christianity block, and they're located here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if their doors were to remain open and the money to keep coming through those doors and the people to keep coming back was solely on success and tangible results, they'd be out of business. Because their benchmark and bragging rights is about how many people they have, how much money rolls in, and how many people stay there, and how many people come back. But yet, they never talk about the end game, the end result. What is there tangible to say that it works? Because when you bring that out, we're back to one of our favorite radio show sayings, Plan B.
Right.
I've been healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Or, well, most times healing is progress. Just stay with the progress, like the person said. We gotta. We need text, folks. The way you text the show is the first word that you type is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. Then type the rest of your message. And when you press the send button, it's just five numbers. No one, no area code. It's just two nines, 99000. That's 99,000. So the first word is Ranger, and then 99,000. And you can text anything you want. We've proven that tonight.
Right.
Emails. We need lots of emails. Let us know about your homework assignments, what you don't tolerate, what you've learned from listening to tonight, and the homework assignment. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence at the letter G, gmail.com. We got an email that came in 20 minutes ago. It says, bought kettle-cooked gyro chips. What's a gyro chip? I don't know what a gyro chip is.
I don't know.
It says, bought kettle-cooked gyro chip. They were gross. No snack. And then it says, bought organic super dark chocolate, and kid you not, it about choked me. It was like eating a spoonful of bitter baking cocoa. No snack again. Is Grace trying to tell me I am snacking too much? Question mark. And to the person messing with BJ and Ranger, please get a life and an education. That's what I'm serious. It says that at the end. It says, and to the person messing with BJ and Ranger, please get a life and an education. Okay, I don't think Grace is telling you not to snack.
I don't think it's telling you anything.
No, because
about your snacks.
No, because what did we say earlier in the show? Jesus loves chocolate-covered donuts. All right, I think what Grace is trying to tell you is you're just a bad snack shopper.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, folks, we need one. What do you call them? Prayer rags, prayer tarps. Yeah, we need a prayer tarp and a prayer circle and a Bible study for the person that sent this email, because we want Jesus to help them shop for better snacks. No. I like this email. You know, I don't know if anybody else is having fun tonight, but are you having fun?
I'm enjoying it.
I am too. I'm having fun. But all kidding aside, I don't understand people sometimes. I mean, and they'll say, well, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. That's a philosophy of a lot of battered women, that they'd rather stay in a relationship that they know is unhealthy, that it's a little unsafe. They're not happy. They're not loved. They're not respected. They have to be on their guard. They get slapped around a little bit. There's no fun in it. It's just a tough life. It's like a prison sentence. But they can tolerate it. And it's consistent. And they've settled for it.
Mm-hmm.
They've compromised. And they know that they can deal with it and get by with it. Because maybe, just maybe, if they leave this terrible relationship, the next man will be worse.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll be going from the frying pan into the fire. So the safe bet is just to stay where you are, because you already know that you can tolerate it.
Right. Well, you know, I think the whole thing about tolerating, I think it really shows and shines the light on whether or not there's a real relationship with God. Because if there was, wouldn't you go to the source? In other words, look at how easy it is to find somebody else to ask them a question that you should be asking God yourself. That's very, very easy. In fact, that's very habitual. People get in the habit of just doing that, the routine of asking a friend what they think about something that they should be asking God. And that becomes the way that people actually approach God, is to ask somebody else. So what I believe it says is, it goes back to the reason why we're on this show. And folks, I trust you always keep things in the context. This show is about individuals finding God, being able to experience God for yourself. You know, even a couple of the emails ago, when it was talking about some things, and we were answering some questions about, you know, whether some of the big ministries in town, you know, whether they could stand on their own concerning results. Well, I wanted to add this thought, and people that are around here or know of these kind of ministries will understand what I'm saying. You know, a lot of these ministries that have Bible schools, well, a lot of the students that come are from other countries, and they'll go back home. And they'll actually have better success back home than the main place does here. Because back home, you're not dealing with the same type of mentality of a person that's in the United States of America, where we've talked about this before, where you've got tons and tons of options.
Yeah.
Back home, you don't have a lot of options. So when they start talking about Jesus, people grab a hold of him like they should here. So when I look at those kind of scenarios, I can see some really good things that happen from people that go to other countries. But this is my point. The number one thing that you see that's lacking everywhere is people having their own personal relationship with God. And that's the part where we're talking about tonight, where people learn to settle constantly, all day long, with things concerning this life. And if that's how you are, a person of settling, when it comes to believing God, there'll be no real believing God. It'll be more of a wish and a prayer.
I'm sure there is, because of the mathematics of it, the sheer mathematical odds of it. I'm sure there's a few people who are listening to the show tonight or this next week that they just don't have the power. Mm-hmm. They don't have the ability to make a choice to stand up for themselves, to make choices for themselves. They just don't. They never have.
They probably feel at a loss because it's not something they've ever done before.
They never will. It's just the odds of it. You know, not every apple on a tree is wholesome and safe to eat.
Right.
But fortunately, the overwhelming majority of the people that listen to your show, Jim, are the opposite. They have the power. They're just not using it, and it's called grace. And I wish that they would. I wish that they would. I'm trying to think how to word this. I wish that they would give themselves more credit. That they would look in the mirror tomorrow morning, and when they're combing their hair, brushing their teeth, and just look at their eyes and say, "This is a real person here."
Right.
And I have something. And only I can tap into it, and it belongs to me, and it belongs to Christ.
Right.
And that they have what they need. And that all they have to do is acknowledge it and just open up the door, and then all of a sudden the guys are going to come flying through the door and they're going to say, "It's about time." Right. Hello.
Right.
"We've been waiting for years. Welcome home. Now, sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride. Let us take care of business for you."
You know, to bring a example I think everybody will identify with, you've watched teams before in sporting events. And of course, you know, we go to the events with Chloe and her volleyball. Yeah. Well, you know, very quickly the momentum can change.
Yeah.
And when momentum changes, it's obvious. You're making the mistakes, they're not. Their team's rallying around them. Their fans are cheering. And your team is saying things like, come on, you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And it's at that moment that you find out what they really believe about themselves.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of team sports. I may watch the Super Bowl. I may watch the last game of the World Series. But I watch a lot of boxing on HBO and Showtime. And the reason, I'm not talking that those guys that hug each other and roll around on the floor, I'm not talking about that MMA stuff. I'm talking about the old-fashioned boxing gloves, squared circle, squared ring.
Is it 8 ounce or 16 ounce?
I don't know. But I just like traditional boxing matches. Yeah. Because at any given moment, of a fight, one punch changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
One punch will take the wind out of somebody. One punch will make somebody a little dizzy. One punch may put somebody on their back pockets for the count. And nothing is a distraction because they have no excuse. It's not a teammate. It's not a football that doesn't have enough air in it. It's not a tennis racket that has some strings missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not because the sun is in their eyes or it's raining or anything. It's literally just two people in the boxing ring.
Right.
And it is what it is. And on any given day, anybody can be beat. And I think that applies to the listeners of your show.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're too hard on themselves. And I think that they need to sit down and take a deep breath and relax and say, you know, I'm just as good as the next person. I have just as much entitlement to heaven and a conversation with the guys as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one single legitimate or lie that can justify why all my prayers should not be answered instantaneously.
Well, you know, if they would do that and have that type of mentality, my opinion is that they would find him instantly. Because that's what it
takes.
Doesn't
Scripture talk about this?
Yes, that's what it takes to actually
find some Scripture.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
You have are you using your Scripture machine?
Yeah.
You just don't get one Scripture machine, and if you order now, you get two Scripture machines for the price of one Scripture machine. And that's not all. They do that all the time on TV.
They
sell you stuff. Well, you wouldn't know. You don't have TV in your house.
I do have TV in my
house. You don't have Showtime. You don't have HBO. You don't have Cinemax. You don't have the Western Channel.
I got regular TV.
No, that's irregular TV. You don't have regular TV. You have irregular TV.
Listen to what this says in verse 31 of Matthew 6. This goes back to our story, you know, that we like so much with the birds and the flowers and all when Jesus is talking. And he says, this is the Message Bible. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Now, we need to talk about that for a second. Not to be so preoccupied with getting. Okay, in the King James it says, we don't live like the Gentiles, always trying to get. In other words, the world system that's before us right now, the what do they call it? The rat race. The Monday to Friday.
The reality of things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, working your rear end off. The early bird gets the worm. Try harder. Work in your, you know, this, that, and the other.
Right.
That's the world system. But that world system came in when Adam fell.
Yes.
And that world system holds fast today more so than ever.
How many times have I said, read the book of Genesis? And then ask yourself a very simple, poignant question. Are you living a life like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Or are you living a life that is close to Adam and Eve once they were spanked by God? When they were kicked out of the Garden even? Which scenario, which description fits your life?
Right. So this is saying here, Jesus is saying, what I'm trying to get you to do here is relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting. In other words, you're not supposed to be thinking about and being preoccupied with the way of life where everything revolves around you. And then he goes on to say, so you can respond to God's giving. Well, that to me sums up what we're talking about with people believing in themselves. If they just relax for a moment, even in their relaxing, that says, I'm not uptight now.
Right.
You know, I was sharing something with Allie the other day because, you know, I told you about her getting healed so quickly, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I said to her, I said, because she was saying, I'm starting to have the symptoms of a migraine. My eyes have gone all fuzzy. I can't see real well, and I'm feeling really badly. Well, the next day, she was supposed to drive down from Savannah down to Jacksonville, okay, to enjoy one of our friends meeting up with him. And I told her, I said, well, honey, first of all, just relax and don't make so much of this. And she said to me, she says, how do I do that? And I said, well, lay down on your bed for a second. Close your eyes and think to yourself, at its worst, you're not going to die. It's just your body. Don't make this the end of the world. Take the value you're giving this and give it to the Lord right now. And watch what's going to happen in just a few minutes. And sure enough, before 10 minutes was over, it all in fact, when I called her again, she started laughing. She laughed on the phone. She said, well, I guess that did it. I said, what? She said, it's all gone. I'm just feeling fine. Well, again, think of what I had to do. I had to get her mind open and her heart open to the idea that this was not life-threatening and you don't have to literally buy into it. BJ, I wonder sometimes if that's where we're really struggling with people, is to let go of the way that they see it.
The problem with radio or television or a newspaper column or a magazine is that you're passing information on to someone that you have no idea, you have nothing. You don't know anything. You don't know who they are, where they are, what's going on, what they know, what they don't know, what their value system is, what they think is up, might be down for you. You don't know. So subsequently, on a show like yours, precision is based on the common factual information of Scripture. I've talked about this before. The Bible is really redundant.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's like the Bible is like your television that has 40 to 50 channels, and it really should only have 25 because there's repeats.
Okay.
Like it's like news. At 6 o'clock every night, there's news everywhere. A whole bunch of channels have news at the same time.
Right.
Okay. Well, just imagine if you had 50 channels and 25 of them were news.
News. Okay.
The same news. With the same reporter, the same announcer.
Right.
It was, you literally had 25 identical channels. There's books in the Bible like that. And they're written differently from the perspective of different people to show that, number one, the message is the same. The message is consistent. Mm-hmm. And yet there is room for individuality.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to lose who you are. You don't have to give up your personal identity. You don't have to give up your creativity. You don't have to give up the way you look, the way you dress, the way you talk. How you live means nothing. It's about your spirit, your soul, and what you believe to be your salvation. So it literally crosses all lines. I think if someone was to perhaps consider that, it would be easier for them to let go.
Mm-hmm.
That they would see the folly in things. You know, you don't hear this word very often, but it's character. Someone would say, what kind of person is that? And they'd say, they're of good character.
Mm-hmm.
They have character.
Right.
You're not born with character, and character is something that is tough to come by. Because to have character, to have honor, means that you have seen the folly of your ways. That things that you thought were important or special, decisions that you made, that you realized that they had no merit, that they didn't mean anything.
Right.
That the best education is not worrying about what mistake you make, but being concerned to make sure that you correct it and you never make the same mistake twice.
Right.
That once you see the folly in your life, that once you realize that when you drop a coffee cup on the ground, you can super glue it back together, but you'll never find every shard of glass. It's going to leak like a sieve.
Right.
It might look like the coffee cup that you dropped, but it's not going to hold another drop of water or coffee. That you understand that sometimes you cross a bridge and you burn it unintentionally.
Right.
That there is misfortune in your life without any compensation whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then and only then, I believe a person can then have character.
Yeah.
That I always find it interesting when somebody says, I have no regrets. I regret nothing in my life. I think either they're lying or they're not giving themselves enough credit or they haven't lived very much. They haven't experienced anything.
Right, right.
How can you live a life and say you have no regrets? That you haven't made a decision that you wish would have had a better outcome. That in the future, you Monday morning quarterback it and you say, that wasn't my best day. That wasn't my best me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that in itself is humbling. And all these roads lead to grace.
Right.
But if you settle, if you compromise, and you're willing to concede and say, I'm 45 years old. What can I do?
Right.
It's etched in stone. The best I can do with my life is to make the best of this. And accept the fact that you don't get do-overs. There's no time machine. So I am who I am. My life is what my life is. And I'm kidding myself if there's anything else.
Yeah.
Just look at look how that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
The weakness, the pain, the disappointment. We got an email that came in. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about gyro chips. I don't know what in the world a gyro chip is. It says, hi, Ranger and Company. We're company now, Jim. It's Ranger and Company.
Good.
It says, I think Jesus would have worn Levi's, not Wranglers. Laugh out loud. No, Jesus wears Wranglers. Yeah. I think asking the guys anything and everything is great. The problem is not hearing what the guys are saying back to us. I like that. I'm going to say that again. I think asking the guys anything and everything is great. The problem is not hearing what the guys are saying back to us. Great show as usual, Diane from Toronto. Well, see, she answered her own question.
Right.
She says, I think asking the guys anything and everything is great. The problem is not hearing what the guys are saying back to us. See, that's why she said Levi's, when in fact Jesus only wears Wranglers. That's why she doesn't know, because she said she can't hear the guys. So, yeah.
Well, Jesus is a descendant from the tribe of Levi, so maybe there are Levi's. I don't know.
You are just so proud with yourself. Folks, I wish this was televised right now. He's got this cute little, I said something cool look on his face. Oh, now he's got both hands up in the air with thumbs up. I said something. You know, actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't get a chance very often to up you a little bit. So, I mean, that was all right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's sad that you've settled into a mindset that you never get to say anything clever very often. See, you're
See,
settling.
That's good. It is. That's settling.
I just upped you.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
That's here's the sad thing about what we're talking about tonight.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. What?
No, it's not bad. It's just show-related is you really have to be on your P's and Q's. You got to stay sharp in the game because
yes, you do.
You can settle that quickly and not even have a clue you're settling. In other words, the routines of this life are so ingrained in the idea of compromise and settling that you do a lot.
Yep.
I mean, the great thing is as you begin to pursue God, and this is what I've said a bunch of times, you kind of said it too at the very beginning, is as you begin to pursue God, boy, you really begin to see yourself in a different light.
Yeah, you do.
And the cool part about that is, you know, part of it's not fun, but the other part that is fun is you're beginning to be aware of things that you never were aware of before. And now you're beginning to see things constantly. And you know, if there was a synonymous statement that I find from almost everybody very quickly, this is it. They immediately begin to see things in a different light.
Yeah.
I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, there's a scripture that says, in his light, you'll see light. Well, that says it right there. You know, I mean, as the closer you get to God, the brighter things shine and the more it shines on you. And you begin to see things very differently.
When I was first paralyzed and a paraplegic, I was about 3 weeks in the hospital, and this doctor came in and he said, "He says I'm starting to learn your personality, so I'm just not going to spring this on you." He says, "But there's somebody that is in a similar position to you. They've been in a wheelchair now for about 5 years." And I want to know if you're willing to talk with them. Because maybe you have questions about being a paraplegic and living the rest of your life in a wheelchair. And he says, I just didn't want them to come, you know, in your room and introduce themselves. And because, you know, they said you're kind of, this is a word he used, persnippity. And I said, why not? Because really, there was nothing on TV. That's why I said, why not? Honestly, there was nothing on TV. That's why I said, okay. So about 20 minutes later, this lady comes rolling in my room in a wheelchair. And she had, you know, one of those racer wheelchairs, you know. No sides, you know.
Right, got it.
Yeah. And she introduced herself. And she asked me what happened. And then she says, do you want to know what happened to me? And she told me. And then she asked me this question. And she says, okay, she says, you're sitting here counting the holes in the ceiling, you know, the tile. She says, you're counting the holes in the ceiling, and you don't even look out the window anymore. And she says, how many hours a day do you look back on your life when your legs worked and you realize what you thought was important was just a bunch of junk, that it didn't matter, and that it was just a waste to even be concerned about it? And I looked, I said, that's a really good question. I says, I've been doing that. And I says, I didn't really care about anyone or anything too much. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, there's things that now I see were a total waste of my time. Why did I have care and concern about them? Mm-hmm. And I says, when I walk again, and then this is where it kind of lost me with her. And she says, well, that's a good attitude now, but you'll get over that. See, that's when she kind of, you know, kind of lost it with me. Because I said, when I can walk again. And she says, well, that's a good attitude now, but you'll get over that. And I says, when I can walk again, I says, it's going to be tough to be around me because people are going to have cares and concerns that are just going to blow off and giggle at and say, who cares? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, I have a lot of those. And then she talked for about another 5 minutes, and I wasn't rude or curt, but I just kind of said, I'm kind of tired. I want to, you know, because I really kind of lost it. Kind of lost it for me when, you know, when she made that comment, when I said, well, I'm going to walk again. I thought, well, now I know why you're in a wheelchair 5 years down the line.
Sure.
But I've talked to people that have had heart transplants, big strokes, heart disease, strokes, real life-threatening things where their lives were never the same. Never the same. They never got back to 100% normal. And everybody is the same. Their what they care about is a very short list.
Right.
What they could care less about is a very long list. And Scripture talks about this with settling and compromise, that what you think is important isn't. We're on this earth for 70, maybe 80 years if we're lucky.
Right.
And we're talking about our internal spirit, and we're talking about heaven and limitless, endless, boundless glory of Christ.
Right.
That we are spirit beings, a divine spark, but yet most of our prayers, most of our concerns are of a temporary situation.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a great scripture here in Ephesians, and it's in chapter 3 and verse 20, and I'm going to read it for you. And it's out of the Amplified Version, and this is what it says. And this gives you an idea how that God is so full. In fact, I love a statement that a guy by the name of John Lake said. He said, I'm the highest optimistic enthusiast. I like that. He said, when you read the Bible, you come away being an optimistic enthusiast. And this verse really kind of spells that out, that there is no such thing as settling with God. Not when you get close to Christ. It's all about progression. It says, now unto him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within you, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Well, that pretty much says the endless and the boundless. Yep. It says, how big can you think? Can you see beyond where you're at? Because if you can, then you can have it. You know, I love the statement over in Exodus chapter 7 and 1. God was talking to Moses. You know, God's got to get Moses to be able to cooperate with him.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't necessarily easy.
No.
Because,
no, it wasn't.
Because Moses has got to see it like God sees it. So
well,
this
and the way he has to see it, he's never seen anything from like that before.
No. So this is what God says. He said, see, Moses, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. Well, all of that hinges on one thing. It hinges on whether Moses sees it or not.
Right.
Because if he doesn't see it, guess what? He just knocks the whole thing down to a different level where you won't see things take place in the manner in which they should.
That's right.
So this is important. When we're talking about settling, a lot of it does come back down to what? To a principle that if you can't see it big enough. Now, see, that goes back to that lady sitting there. In a sense, you could say she almost tried to take your fire away from you, to put your light out.
Yeah.
Because momentarily, she says, well, you'll get over that. If you'd have bought into that, you wouldn't be walking today.
No. I think that there's a... I want to talk about kids for a second and peer pressure.
Okay.
I think settling and compromise starts as a child. You really don't want to do this. You really don't want to go there. You really don't want to play that game, but everybody else does. And so you kind of settle. You give in.
Right.
and your heart isn't in it. But yet, if you say no, you're going to get pushed aside.
Right.
Or maybe you won't be around tomorrow. So you feel obligated to do what the group does.
Sure.
I've always thought it was really unfair of a parent to say, well, if your friends were going to jump off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? Would you follow them? If your friends were going to poke themselves in the eye with a stick, would you poke yourself in the eye with a stick? Because the answer for most kids is, yeah, Mom. If I don't, I'm not going to have any friends.
Yeah, I won't be a part of the group anymore.
Yeah, nobody's going to talk to me. No one will have lunch with me. Nobody will help me with my homework. So, yeah, if my friends jump off the cliff, I don't want to jump off the cliff, Mom, but I'm going to jump off the cliff.
Right.
And this settling, this compromise, is at a young age. So that by the time you're in college, fast forward by the time you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, you go along with things because you've been settling your whole life.
Right, right, exactly.
It's as ingrained as you, as the color of your eyes. And you don't even know it.
Right.
Because it's a reality and a life choice that was made decades ago.
Yeah.
And it's the only reality that you now know. And I see this in people. I see it in people that work on the ranch.
Right.
I'll say, you know, when she was a little girl, there was a tipping point. And she could have went left, and she went to the right.
Hmm.
And 20 years later, this is where it's gotten her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unless you know that something is broke, you can't fix it.
Sure.
Unless you know something is wrong, you can't choose not to do it. And so I think with last week's homework assignment and perhaps tonight's broadcast, in conjunction with each other, that maybe someone or more, someone's, will be able to say, I am compromising.
Yeah.
I am settling. We got a text that came in, and then I want to hear what you have to say. It says... Okay. Oh, we got two. We got, no, not text. We have emails. It says, great show. Looking forward to having Jim in North Carolina this weekend. Shout out to all the new listeners. All the best. Breakfast Ed. Breakfast Ed always says hi to all the new listeners. I like that. Mm-hmm. Are you going to North Carolina?
I am. Yep.
Does that mean he's going to take you out for breakfast?
Or lunch.
And lunch?
Or lunch.
Oh.
One of the two.
We got an email that came in 4 minutes ago. In major financial need, can you offer advice on how to please God? Yeah, the way you please God is to be true to yourself and to open your heart to grace. And the true testimony to please God is to not just recognize grace, but take advantage of grace and to see grace in others and to be grateful for the divine spark and the fact that there is something more, greater, glorious ahead and not just the day-to-day life.
I like that. It's good.
We got another email here that came in 2 minutes ago. It says, please don't mention my name. Hi to Ranger, Jim, and BJ. I'm trying to figure something out. It's obvious to me, and in parentheses, and God, that I am not getting it. I know my life isn't what it could be or should be after everything Jesus went through for me to be reunited with God and for the grace to be available for me. You are teaching that grace is everywhere. I'm living a routine life of getting up early, working to pay rent and daily living expenses, caring for my body that is aging and in pain. During my life on earth, I want to experience more of God. Please help me to understand how I allow grace to provide for me and guide me as a father cares for his children, as it was for Adam and Eve before the fall. Appreciate your teaching so much.
Well, Jim? My response is going to be, if tomorrow a loved one of yours, someone that you actually got along with, Obviously, because not all loved ones people get along with. But if you got along with someone real well, if tomorrow they were strapped to your hip like Siamese twins, and you were going to have to be with them for 24 hours, well, think of it this way. Would it be better to kind of put yourself in a position to say, as long as we're going to be together, why don't we take advantage of each other's ability and really get along and help one another and acknowledge one another and speak with one another? And of course, that means I'm going to have my daily duties. I'm going to still have to go to work. I'm going to still have to do the things that I normally do. It's just now I'm going to actually invite this loved one that I'm strapped to, like a Siamese twin, I'm going to invite them to be a part of everything that I do. And just begin from the very onset of your day, because it'd be pretty difficult for you not to be aware that someone's strapped to your hip, especially if they're going right and you're going left. Be aware all day long and invite and talk to and have conversation with this individual. Now put yourself in relationship to God and His grace. Why not let grace go with you on your job? Be with you during the day. Invite grace, invite God, invite the Holy Spirit to speak with you and to enjoy conversation. And forget about your body and forget about the difficulties of life, because you've got somebody there with you to share the wonderful moments of life with. And what begins to happen? Well, I'll tell you what begins to happen. You find yourself beginning to forget about the difficulties, forgetting about your body. You find that your body's not hurting as much because God and His grace is going to help you and take up for you. You know, experiencing God on a regular basis doesn't have to be any more difficult than that. We make it more difficult because we don't allow God to be real.
If you look at the guys that follow Jesus around, they literally just dropped all their tools, dropped their fishing nets, dropped all their power tools, left their trucks, and just walked around with Jesus and experienced grace with nothing more than witnessing, participating.
Right.
That having an open heart and an open mind and allowing the Holy Spirit to enter their lives.
Yeah, it's good.
Are you ready to say something to music?
I am.
Ready, set, go.
Well, we're glad that you showed up tonight and joined us. We're always glad that there are those that are listening, that are hungry for the message that we're sharing, where each one of you can begin to experience God in a greater, more tangible way. So I challenge you with what you've heard. Look at yourself and see if you're settling. And if you're like me, you'll see different areas where you are. But recognize that God in His love, because all sins are forgiven, is there to not only speak to you, to not only give you information and counsel, but to love you right through it and help you to see how wonderful He is and get your eyes off of the flesh and get your eyes off of the world. So I pray this week that you'll just come to love Jesus more, and that love will actually translate into your experience with Christ. Share a good testimony with us next week. Thanks for being with us.
Well, what do you think of the show tonight?
Well, I think we have a great subject. I think that it really hits the point where everybody has to admit that they're involved somehow in settling.
I do, too. We got a new listener that said hello.
Yeah.
Her name is Beverly. She's in Oklahoma.
Good.
Oklahoma, like us.
Yep. It's nice.
So, Beverly in Oklahoma, hello to her from Breakfast Ed. So you're going to North Carolina?
I am.
Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come back Monday.
What are you going to do down there?
Preach.
Yeah? You're not going to golf, are you?
I might with Ed.
See, that's why you don't have more success down there. Fine. All the good that you do talking about grace is canceled out by all the wasted time on a golf course golfing.
There's not a lot of wasted time.
That's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's two steps forward, one step back. I'm going to talk about grace. I'm going to meet people and have fun, and we're going to fellowship. And then I'm going to throw it all away on a round of hitting a stupid little ball as far as I can so I can run up and hit it as far as I can again. That's just sad. You're imprisoned in a world of little white balls and clubs.
No, I don't think so.
It really doesn't
come into play too often in my life anymore.
We need a prayer tarp for you. Or
a tarp?
Whatever. Whatever those
prayer
things
cloth.
Are. Tarp, cloth, prayer sock, whatever it is. What was I going to say? Oh, what do you think? Did we cover this the way you wanted? Because I wasn't sure if we did or not.
Yeah, I think it's...
I wasn't real clear what you wanted to talk about tonight, so I didn't know if we were going in the right direction or not.
Yeah, I feel we were. I think time will tell. I usually get reports. Tomorrow night at the Hardesty Library at 7 o'clock, I'll be there. We'll be live streaming. For those of you that want to listen in and watch us, you can go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry webpage or to the Abiding Presence, all one word, ministry webpage here for the radio show, and you can find the live stream. And that's from 7 to 8 o'clock. If you're in town, come on and join us at the Hardesty Library. That's Central Standard Time, 7 to 8 o'clock.
And tomorrow night, Ranger and I will be here at the home place on the ranch, looking at the stars in the sky, watching the sunset, watching the moon up above, listening to the crickets and the frogs in the ponds.
We may be getting some rain tomorrow, too.
Yep, the coyotes howling. And Ranger, would you like to say something? What else? What else, Ranger? Ranger. Dog spelled backwards. That about sums it up. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good girl, Ranger.